Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Floor on Monday, the 5th of July, recording at 8:27 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first a quick look at the highlights here today on this day of reduced trading because of Wall Street being closed for the 4th of July holiday. First, highlights here. The Asian stock markets, while quiet, are surprisingly steady, I feel, given the overall background that we see coming from Europe and Wall Street. So there were actually more stock markets in Asia that were slightly higher on the day than down. But it has to be repeated that they remain range-bound overall. Now, European markets were mixed for most of the day, but then just slipped a tiny bit. We're talking about declines that are mostly less than 0.5% here by the close. The one exception I see on my Bloomberg screen is that IBEX that's the Spanish market, was up a fraction. In the Americas that are open that I see on my screen, that's Canada, Mexico, and Brazil. Mexico is just up a fraction. The other two are a little bit lower here. Long-dated government bonds, they remain firm overall. Prices, in other words, have risen. Yields have declined. U.S. dollars mixed in a quiet day. Overall, the euro and sterling, which had rallied on Friday, have slipped a little bit in here today. Gold had, let's get another quiet day, 12,006 to 12,014.60, and last at 12,009. Now, industrial metals were mostly a little bit firmer. A quiet session in the agricultural commodities, except for sugar. Sugar remains firm and is an interesting situation on the charts overall. Crude oil has slipped a little bit, 71.75. I'm here as I speak. Okay, so what's going on here overall? First, in terms of the stock markets. Well, the most interesting thing that stands out, to my mind, is the continued relative strength of some of those Asian markets. Now, that includes India and the ASEAN markets, as I've mentioned almost daily in these broadcasts. And we also see real firmness in the or relative performance, I should say, because the market activity is quiet, but in the smaller South American stock markets. So that's pretty much everything except for Brazil, which is a little easier, dipping back down just below the 61,000 level once again. Why the relative strength in those sectors? Well, because it's been a good theme, because good growth is being generated, good corporate profits are being generated, and local investors, at least in those markets, maybe are a little bit tired of quaking over Greece's sovereign debt or unemployment figures in the United States. That seems fairly far removed and remote for them. Their problems locally are more of an inflationary nature. So it's an extremely different world that they inhabit. Then if you look, though, at the OECD stock markets, the charts look grim. The best that can be said, as I mentioned before, is that they're a little bit oversold in the short term, but a lot of technical damage has occurred during the last 2-3 weeks. And there is overhead supply. Some of the moving averages are turning down. Too many indices are trading below their 200-day moving averages. And there is, other than scope for maybe a little bit of technical steadying, there's no reason to believe that we are at a major floor for those OECD country stock market indices. So that's a concern, and obviously very different than the more robust picture that I described by some of those Asian stock markets and some of those South American stock markets. Now, that raises the question of could we possibly be seeing some uncoupling? Well, not if Wall Street continues to push to the south, in my view, because we have never seen stock markets uncouple during what becomes a more significant sell-off than we have seen to date. Conversely, if Wall Street were to steady in here anytime soon, I wouldn't be surprised if some of those Asian markets didn't push through to new high ground. But there is a risk that they get dragged a bit lower. But I feel overall that if they are dragged down, they'll still bounce back more quickly when markets do turn, whether that's next month, or more likely whether we get a real improvement sometime in the fourth quarter of this year. So I'm really reluctant to sell out of positions that I think are well underpinned fundamentally. Valuations are not high. And we can even say about the United States, I have a Washington Post article that I'm leading with here today in my written copy, which I think the Federal Reserve has pointed out that the Fortune 500 companies in the United States are holding something like $1.8 trillion on their balance sheets. And the article is taking the line that, well, something needs to be done to get these companies to start spending that money on plant and equipment and hirings. And from the perspective of shareholders, I would think that the fact that they're holding that substantial cash is really one of the best things that we can say in an economy that is overstretched in terms of debt, and where a painful and lengthy debt deleveraging process is taking place, somewhat at the corporate level, but much more significantly at the personal and yet to be dealt with government level. So there you have it. The mood generally in the West, I think, is continuing to deteriorate, which is not surprising in line with the weakness of stock markets. We should expect that to continue until some event or selling climax leads to a turnaround. Right now, I can't see these Western stock market patterns supporting more than a temporary technical rally. What else to mention? The long-dated government bond prices, these are really overextended on the upside. And in other words, yields are overextended on the downside, but there's been no clear break in these medium-term trends that have pushed bond prices, government bond prices, and yields to these levels. My hunch is that they'll turn simultaneously with stock markets when stock markets do eventually perk up. But bond prices could deteriorate before then if sovereign debt concerns begin to get the upper hand relative to deflationary concerns that people are obviously discounting in those markets right now. In the currency markets, I think it's quite a mixed picture overall, but the bottom line, as we've said so many times over the last number of years, is that in this environment, no country really wants a strong currency. And we're left, though, with a situation where some countries need a weak currency more than others. And right now, I think the countries that need the weak currencies are or the regions that need the weak currencies, certainly Europe needs and has a generally soft currency. Ditto for the United Kingdom, but government cutbacks have probably put at least a medium-term floor underneath pound sterling. The Swiss franc is very overextended. That cannot be something that the government is happy about at this stage. And the U.S. dollar, it's partially corrected some of its somewhat overextended condition. There is a risk overall that low U.S. interest rates, and they're certainly going to stay low, at least beyond the election. Talking about short-term rates now, there is a problem created by that, because some of these Asian countries that I've mentioned could really justify edging their short-term interest rates higher to head off inflationary pressures. But they're a bit reluctant to do that when U.S. interest rates are staying near zero, because the Asian countries don't want to see their currencies start to spike up against the greenback. So that's that background overall. What about gold? I remain cautious here in the short term overall, but we'll also add that in whatever stock markets do on the downside, led by Wall Street, during this extended correction, and to whatever extent that actually spills over and affects the gold market, I think that one, that gold would fall less than the Dow or the S&P, and that it would also rebound more quickly in the next recovery phase. Among individual commodities, the sugar looks to me to be one of the most interesting overall. Coffee has been interesting for quite a while, but it's also had a good move. And lumber is firming up as interesting as well. Of the two, though, I think I would much prefer the sugar at this stage. And on that note, I'll just say those of you in the USA, hope you had a great 4th of July holiday, and to all of you, all the best.